Amen. All right, so first and foremost, I would like to thank Pastor and Brother Russell and the congregation here down in Tucson for allowing me to preach tonight. I consider it a great privilege and a great honor. Unfortunately, my throat is a little bit hoarse tonight, but I'll do my best. But anyway, my sermon tonight is going to be focusing around the trip that we just got back from. For those of you who don't know, Brother Fabian and I, we just went on a trip to the U.S. Virgin Islands just to check it out. We did a lot of soul winning down there and everything, and it was a fantastic trip. We both agreed that was one of the best trips that we've ever been on, church-related. And specifically, we went to the island of St. Croix, where Brother Russell used to live, so that's pretty cool. But anyway, we went there, and we went soul winning. You know, we were there for 2 full days. And we ended up getting 10 people saved for those 2 days. So praise the Lord for that. It was a great trip. There was a lot of history there. You know, you can't even drive down the road without seeing these, you know, 100, 200-year-old buildings everywhere. We visited the spot where Christopher Columbus landed the first time that he came to the New World and everything. So it was very interesting as far as that's concerned, just on the, you know, secular side of things. But overall, it was a fantastic trip, and we would love to take a big mission trip there in the near future. So my sermon is going to be sort of talking about that a little bit. The title of my sermon tonight is Strategy to Evangelize the Caribbean. Strategy to Evangelize the Caribbean. So tonight I want to talk to you a little bit about our church's vision to reach the entire Caribbean with the gospel. And that is a huge region, but we're going to talk about it tonight. We're going to break it down step by step how we're going to do that. Now, you're there in Acts chapter 16, and I want you to look down at verse number 9. Now, me and Fabian, we talked about this story while we were in on the island of St. Croix, and I thought a lot about this, and I told him how this is probably my favorite story out of the entire Bible. It's only two verses long, but I love this. I can't help but read it, and it almost brings tears to my eyes every time that I read it. But Fabian disagreed. He thought that David and Goliath was better. But anyway, that's beside the point. So look down, if you would, at verse 9, where the Bible reads, "And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Whenever you read these couple of verses, you can almost hear the desperation in the man's voice. You know, come and help us, right? And I like what it says right after that, how Paul immediately endeavored to go into Macedonia. And, you know, Paul, he answered the Macedonian call, but as our church, you know, we're answering a different call. We're answering the Caribbean call, you know. Come and help us, man. You know. But yeah, we're doing it, and we're gonna do it immediately too. We're planning a trip over there and everything. Now, this sermon is loosely based off of a sermon that our pastor preached many years ago called Strategy to Evangelize the Entire World in Our Lifetime. And if you haven't listened to that sermon, I would highly recommend it. I believe that is, that's one of my favorite sermons I've ever heard before. You know, that sermon caused me to want to move here to Arizona to go to Faithful Word Baptist Church. I grew up in Tennessee, but I moved here not solely, but mainly because of that sermon, because I wanted to be a part of a church that had a big vision to serve the Lord and to reach as many people as we can with the gospel. You know, the Bible says that where there is no vision, the people perish. So I wanted to be a part of a church that had a big vision. That was my number one driving factor for moving out here. And, you know, from day one since I've been here, I've been going sowing. You know, I remember pulling up into town in Tempe, and I just got my car unloaded, and, you know, I'm settling down in my apartment for the very first day. And I called Brother Segura, and I said, "Hey, I made it into town." You know, we had been talking on the phone before then. And he said, "Great, well, they're soul winning tonight at 5 o'clock. Are you going to be there?" I'm like, "Yeah, I guess so." You know, so the very first day, I started soul winning. And, you know, as long as I'm a member at Faithful Word Baptist Church, I want to continue, you know, trying to fulfill that goal of fulfilling the Great Commission. I want to always be a part of that and always be a part of the soul winning program that we have here. Now, before I get into the meat of the sermon, I would like to start off simply by laying a groundwork for the sermon, and basically explaining our church's vision to reach the entire world with the gospel. Because a lot of people, actually turn if you would to Acts chapter 1, because a lot of people would hear that goal and they would think that that's a pipe dream or that's something that cannot be accomplished. However, I'm going to prove to you that it can be done. So the first thing that I'd like to show you is the fact that it has been done in the past. In the first century AD, the gospel was preached in all the world. And I'm just going to read you a couple of verses. You're there in Acts chapter 1. Stay there. But in Colossians 1, verses 5 and 6, it says, "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of truth of the gospel, which is come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you." So the Bible records the fact in Colossians chapter 1 that the gospel had gone out into all the world at this point, whenever this was written. In Acts 19:10, it says, "And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks." So everybody in Asia heard the gospel according to that verse, right? And that records one region hearing the entire gospel. In Romans 1:5, it says, "By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name." So once again, the gospel is in all nations. Romans 10:17 and through 18. See, the Bible talks a lot about this. But it says in Romans chapter 10, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went in all the earth, and their words unto the ends of the world." So once again, it went out into all the world. So it has been done. And this is my favorite verse on this subject, Colossians 1:23. It says, "If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister." So once again, the Bible records the fact that every creature heard the gospel at that time in history. So not only has it been done, it has been done in the past, but not only that, it can be done as well. Look down, if you would, at Acts chapter 1. See, we have the power to do that. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." So once again, Jesus here, he's given us this commandment. This is called the Great Commission. And this is recorded a few times in the Bible. But this is one of the verses that Jesus is giving us that Great Commission. And so what that tells me is God's not going to command us to do something that we can't do. You know, he said to go out unto the uttermost part of the earth. So I know that it can be done. Now, hold your finger there in Acts chapter 1, but also turn, if you would, to Mark 16. Mark chapter 16. We're going to read two parallel passages with Acts chapter 1, where God gives us the Great Commission. Now, in Matthew 28, it says, and this is a parallel passage, it says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And so once again, he says to go out into all nations. And then Mark 16:15, where you're at, look down, if you would, at verse 15, where it says, "And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." All the world, every creature. So God has commanded us to do it, and it can be done. And that's our job. That's our goal. That's our commission. Now, all three of these verses that we just looked at have one thing in common. They're all talking about the Great Commission, and they all have one thing in common, and that is the fact that all three of them speak about the entire world. You know, in Acts chapter 1, that's the most vague out of these three. It says to go out into the uttermost parts of the earth. Now, that can be left up to interpretation. Maybe you think, oh, well, I don't know about that. But then in Matthew 28, it gets a little bit clearer where it says, all nations. So that from there we see that we're not allowed to leave out any nation. All nations need to hear the gospel. But then in Mark 16, where you're at, it gets the most precise, it gets the most clear whenever it says every creature. See, every creature needs that opportunity to hear the gospel. And that is our goal. That is our commission, is to preach the gospel to every creature. So it has been done and it can be done. But, you know, a lot of people don't believe that, though. A lot of people do not believe that it can be done. You know, I've heard people say that sort of thing before. But see, here's the thing, though. You know, the Bible says all nations. So does all mean all? You know, and it says every creature. Does every mean every? You know, all nations except for India. No, India needs the gospel, too. You know, all nations except for, Afghanistan or something. You know, now Afghanistan's been in the news lately, but and a lot of bad things are happening over there. But you know what? Someday, I firmly believe this, someday we will be preaching the gospel there. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but someday it will happen because God has said all nations. So I know for a fact that we will be there someday. It's not going to be anytime soon, you know, maybe, but, you know, it will happen. And it says every creature, right? Every creature except for this group of people or that group of people. Nope, every single creature needs to hear that gospel. And obviously, you know, we're not going to go to these dangerous places right now because of a philosophy that our church holds, and that is called common sense missions. You know, we want to go to the places that are receptive, safe, and legal first. And then once we're done with those places, then God's going to open up doors in other places that right now, well, you know, it would be very dangerous for us to go there. So I do believe that we're going to get to these other countries, but God just has to open up those doors. So we need to go to places that the door is wide open for us right now. So all we need is to have enough faith. You know, Jesus said, be not faithless, but believing. The Bible says it's anything too hard for the Lord. And of course, it's not, you know. Now, turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew 24. So we talk about how, you know, it has been done. The gospel has been preached in all the world. And it can be done. God has commanded it to us, and so it can be done. But I also want to talk to you about how it has to be done. It will be done. Beyond a shadow of a doubt, it has to be done. Now, where you're turning to is Matthew 24, which is a prophetic passage of the end times. Now, Mark 13 is a parallel passage that also talks about the end times. Now, I'm going to read to you from Mark 13. The Bible reads, and the gospel must first. Now, that word first, that is referring to before the rapture, before God's wrath being poured out. The gospel must first be published among all nations. So the Bible is telling us that before the end can come, before the end of the world and all that stuff and everything, you know, the gospel must first be published in all nations. Now look down, if you would, at Matthew 24 and verse 14, where the Bible reads, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So see, the end cannot come until we preach the gospel to every nation, to every creature, right? And just yesterday, you know, I had a conversation with a guy, and, you know, I love this guy, we're good friends and everything, and we had a great conversation about the end times. You know, we were just speculating and things like that. But there was one point that we disagreed on, and I said that I don't believe that the end times are going to start happening anytime soon. I think it's going to be maybe 50 years down the line or so. And he didn't agree with me, but I told him why I thought that, and that was because of the fact that I look at, you know, how close are we getting to evangelizing the entire world, and I use that sort of as a litmus test to see how close we are to the end, because the end cannot come until we reach the whole world with the gospel. And of course, it's not just us. There's other people out there who are preaching the gospel and everything, but they're few and far between, people who are preaching the true gospel, and they have the vision to preach the gospel to every single creature. So I kind of look at, you know, what we do and what our friends' churches do and churches that we send out. I kind of look at that, and then I determine, you know, how long it's going to take. And I could be totally wrong on that, but that's just how I kind of look at it. Now turn back, if you would, to Acts chapter 1. I told you to leave your finger there. So, preaching the gospel to every creature. It has been done, it can be done, and it will be done again. And, you know, the Bible, God doesn't only just give us this great commission, but he also tells us a way to accomplish it as well. He tells us a battle plan. Now, it says in Acts chapter 1, at that verse that we looked at earlier in verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem. Now, if we bring this verse into our modern day times and apply it to our situation here in Arizona, then our Jerusalem, at least in Tempe, our Jerusalem would be Phoenix. You guys, your Jerusalem would be Tucson, right? And then it goes on to say, and in all Judea. Now, our Judea is mutual. It's Arizona, right? We want to preach the gospel to every single creature in Arizona. That's our Judea, right? And then it says, in all Samaria. Now, that would be the rest of the United States. And then it says, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's what we're going to focus on tonight. We're going to talk about the uttermost parts of the earth. And more specifically, we're going to talk about the region that is called the Caribbean, right? We're going to talk about how we're going to reach the Caribbean with the gospel. So you'd say, you know, why the Caribbean? Why are we going to, you know, focus our attention on the Caribbean going forward? And I'll tell you why. There's lots of reasons. Well, first of all, that common sense missions that we talked about, it hits all those checkpoints, right? Pretty much every single country and territory in the Caribbean is receptive, it's safe, and it's legal to go there, you know. Maybe with the exception of Cuba, I'm not sure if it's legal to preach the gospel there or not. I'm not sure. I haven't done the research. No, probably not. Anyway, not Cuba. We're not talking about Cuba. Anyway, But not only does it match Common Sense Missions, but also, in addition to that, it's usually very cheap to buy a plane ticket there, so it's very cost-effective. It's very affordable, right? If you want to go to the Philippines, for example, that's where my wife is from. I spend a lot of time there. You know, you're going to be looking at a plane ticket, a round-trip ticket for maybe $1,200 or so. You can get pretty much anywhere in the Caribbean for maybe $500. So it's cheap. Pretty much everybody there, at least in the countries that we're going to be focusing on, speaks very good English. So there's no language barrier. And if any of you have done foreign missions before, you realize the importance of there, you know, not being that much of a language barrier, because that can be a big determining factor on where we go. Not only that, you know, you don't mess up your sleeping schedule. It's not that much of a time difference. So that's good, as opposed to going on the other side of the world. And not only that, you know, let's just face it, whenever we think about the Caribbean, we think about like palm trees and beaches, and you know, we think about paradise. So it's more desirable as well. We're going to have more people who come to those types of mission trips. And so there's lots of reasons why we want to shift our focus to mainly going to the Caribbean on mission trips going forward. Now, at this point in the sermon, I would like to basically go over the Caribbean countries and territories that are over there. Now, I've got this board. I've got this visual aid to help me out. Now, the words are a little bit small, but hopefully some of you guys can see this at least. Now, this is a list of all 28 countries and territories that are found in the Caribbean. And then it goes in order from the most populated to the least populated, okay? There are 28 countries and territories, and altogether, these places have a combined population of about 45 million people. So that's a lot of people. But you know what? Our church has that goal of reaching this entire region with the gospel. Now, got my pen here, my marker. And we're going to talk a little bit about this. Now, first of all, these first three countries right here, this is Cuba, Haiti, and Dominican Republic. These three countries hold about 75% of the entire population of the Caribbean. So it's only focused in those three countries. Okay, that's a huge deal. Those three are very big. That Cuba has a little over 11 million. The other two have a little over 10 million. And then if we include the first six countries or territories, so Cuba, Haiti, Dominican Republic, Puerto Rico, Jamaica, and Trinidad and Tobago, this represents 90% of the population of the Caribbean. So that's a lot of people, okay? And so I'd like to, first of all, start talking about church planting. You know, I want to talk a little bit about our church's philosophy on planting churches. Now, from the way that I understand it, our church would like to plant other churches in places that have over 1 million people. And then those churches would plant churches in their region in places that have over 100,000 people. And so if we followed that strategy for the Caribbean, then we would have to plant five churches personally, because there are five cities that have over 1 million people in the Caribbean. That would be Havana, Cuba, Port-au-Prince, Haiti, Santo Domingo, Dominican Republic, San Juan, Puerto Rico, and Kingston, Jamaica. Those would be our five places that we'd want to plant churches. Unfortunately, most of those are not English-speaking, so those wouldn't really be good candidates for a mission trip, at least not anytime soon. But, you know, those would be the places that we would plant churches. Now, full disclosure, we don't have any plans of planting any churches right now. This is a more of a theoretical plan for something in the future, because we don't have a lot of guys who are ready or willing to go and plant churches in the Caribbean at this time. But then once we would plant those churches right there in all those places with over 1 million people, those churches would plant an additional 49 churches all throughout the Caribbean. And then altogether, Cuba would have 14 churches because of different areas that have over 100,000 people. So then Cuba would have 14, Haiti would have 19, Dominican Republic would have 8 churches, Puerto Rico would have 4, Kingston, Jamaica would be one, of course. And then there would be one on the island of Trinidad. There'd be one on the island of Guadeloupe, Martinique, the island of Nassau, Bahamas, probably mispronouncing that. But And then Barbados would have one, St. Lucia would have one, Curacao, Aruba, and then Grenada. So then those would be the places where where those churches, those original five, would plant more churches in the near future. And so that would basically be the plan, and that would reach a huge portion of this, and that would basically take care of these first churches right here. However, since we don't have plans for that right now, in the near future, we're going to start focusing on doing mission trips there, and that's going to be the bulk of what we do in the near future. And to begin with, we would not focus our missions on places that don't really speak English. So that would take out Cuba, Haiti, Dominican Republic, let's see here, Guadeloupe, Martinique, Saint Martin, and Saint Barthélemy, because those places speak French and Spanish. So we wouldn't really focus on those, but all the rest of these would be basically up for grabs. Now, I didn't mention Puerto Rico, because I believe that Puerto Rico would be a great place to have a mission trip, and here's why. Because most of the younger people there are bilingual. They speak English and Spanish, so that would be a great place for somebody who is learning Spanish. So I think that that would be a great place to have a mission trip in the future. So Puerto Rico is good. Now, places that we would personally want to go on mission trips and take mission trips to would be Jamaica, of course. You know, we've gone to Jamaica before. We went to Jamaica in 2018, and we had a great time. I was a part of that trip, and that was fantastic. You know, other places would include Trinidad, Barbados, but not Bahamas, though. And the reason is because of the fact that if our plan is going to work to reach the entire world with the gospel, whenever we're working together with other churches, each church would basically have their own territory that they cover. And, of course, Pastor Shelley and Steadfast Baptist Church, they've pretty much claimed Bahamas as their mission field. That's where they're going to mission trips. That's where they want to take over. So we're going to basically leave that to them, and we're going to take care of those other places. Now, as far as the top places that our church is going to be looking into for futures and for missions in the near future, there are 16 places, and let me show those to you. So these are our top picks. So number one, St. Lucia, right? Now, St. Lucia has a population of 172,000 people. Curacao, Aruba, St. Vincent and the Grenadines with 110,000 people. The U.S. Virgin Islands, now that's the one that me and Fabian just got back from, and that one was awesome. And it has a population of about 105,000 people. There's also Grenada, Antigua and Barbuda, Dominica, Cayman Islands, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Martin, which belongs to the Netherlands. Now, they're multilingual there. You know, they speak Dutch, but they also speak Spanish and English as well. So I think that we could get around pretty safely in that one. And then there's Turks and Caicos Islands, which belongs to the United Kingdom. Not St. Martin, because they speak French there. The British Virgin Islands, the Caribbean Netherlands, Anguilla, and the last one is Montserrat. And I'm probably mispronouncing that one too, but anyway, and then that one only has 5,000 people there. Now, that is such a small place that we could go there with a big group of people, and we could knock every single door there in just a matter of a couple of days. And that's really cool, if you ask me. But we picked these 16 right here mainly because of their low populations. Because those bigger places, they deserve their own church. And, of course, these places, we would love to plant churches there too. But we can knock some of these places out in just one mission trip. If we just went there with a lot of people, we can knock every single door in an entire mission trip. And that would be amazing if we could do that. And, you know, you might say that that might be too big of a goal. But you know what? We've been talking about, tonight we talked about, you know, reaching the entire world, then the Caribbean. And now we're talking about reaching an entire Caribbean country with the gospel. And you know what? It can be done. And let me break it down to you. And I'm just going to break it down to you really quickly about how it can be done. All right, I'm going to flip this over. And then we're going to do a little bit of math, and we're going to take a look at how long it would take us to knock every single door in one of these countries or territories. All right. Now, for our example, we're going to use the U.S. Virgin Islands, because that's where we just came back from. And it was great. It was super receptive. It was wonderful. And we're planning on hopefully going there on a mission trip in the near future. So we're going to talk about how long would it take to knock every single door in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Now, The Virgin Islands have a population of about 105,000 people, but we're going to round it down to 100,000 people. So with a population of 100,000 people, you know, that would be about 30,000 doors, because there's roughly maybe, you know, a little over three people per household in the United States. So then let's just say 30,000 doors. Don't lose me on this either. This is exciting. I don't know. This gets me excited. That's why I'm preaching a whole sermon about it, because I love this. All right, so check it out. 30,000 doors. Now, anybody who goes soul winning, now this might be an arbitrary number, because obviously we don't know. Now, a lot of these numbers that we're about to go over, it's speculation. And that's because we don't know until we actually get there and we do it. And we can look back and do it. But this is going to get us in the ballpark, so just bear with me. Now, anybody who goes soul winning knows that to knock a door from start to finish, it would probably take around 2 to 3 minutes. And I've talked about this with Brother Russell, and he agrees with that statement. You know, by the time that you leave one door, you go to the next, you knock on it, the person comes to the door, and then they say, hey, you know, I'm not really interested or whatever, or I'm busy, I got something on the stove. Okay, well, can I leave you with a verse or whatever? You know, that whole process, some doors are going to take a little bit more than 3 minutes, some doors are going to take a little less than 2 minutes, but we're just going to say that it's going to take roughly 3 minutes per door. Now, that number is going to be important to us in just a minute. Now, this is a concrete number. Me and Brother Fabian, whenever we went to the U.S. Virgin Islands, we got 10 people saved over the course of roughly 8 hours of soul winning. So that's a little more than one salvation per hour. But, you know, whenever we go back, we're going to be knocking on every door in the island, hopefully, Lord willing, if we have a big group. And so we're going to get roughly one salvation per hour. So one person saved per hour. So if we get one person saved, you know, and then it takes maybe 30 minutes to preach them the gospel, maybe 25 minutes of preaching, another 5 minutes of, you know, small talk and giving them some DVDs and a Bible and everything. So we take 30 minutes of their time to preach them the gospel and they get saved. Then for the rest of the 30 minutes, then you would knock about 10 more doors. Now, the reason that this is important is that now we get that number of 10 doors per hour. And the U.S. Virgin Islands. Once again, this is total speculation, but this is going to get us in the ballpark for how long it's going to take to knock every single door in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Now, if it takes us 10 doors, if it takes us 1 hour to knock 10 doors, then that would be 3,000 hours of soul winning. That in order to knock every single door. Now, just for I guess to bring that into perspective, let's say that one person goes over there and then they just knock doors, or two people. You know, let's say that me and Fabian, we just move to the Virgin Islands, and then we're just not going to leave until we knock every single door. Well, if we put in a 40-hour work week and we knock doors for 40 hours a week, it would still take us a year and a half to knock every single door. So this is still a big goal, 3,000 hours of soul winning. But if we take a big soul winning, or a mission trip there, okay, and let's say that we had 40 people come on that mission trip, okay? And that might seem like a big number, but just think about it, though. Whenever we went to Jamaica, we had about 50 people come. And whenever we went to the island of Aruba back in the day, that was back in 2018, you know, we had over 75 people come there. So I think that this is actually a realistic or a conservative number. 40 people show up to a mission trip to the U.S. Virgin Islands. That would be 20 teams, 20 soul-winning teams, okay? Now, 20 teams, if they go out soul winning for 5 hours a day, now that is our church's basic, our policy kind of is just doing 5 hours a day of soul winning. Whenever you go on a mission trip or on one of our weekend soul winning trips or on a soul winning marathon day, you do about 5 hours of soul winning, 2.5 in the morning, 2.5 after lunch. So if we have 20 teams doing 5 hours of soul winning per day, then that means that we have 100 hours of soul winning per day. 100 hours per day. And if we do that for 6 days on a 6 day long mission trip, then guess what? We have 600 hours of soul winning done on that one mission trip. So 600 hours on one mission trip. Now, if we had five mission trips just like this, then we would knock every single door in the U.S. Virgin Islands. So we could do it in five mission trips. And once again, that's a ballpark. It might be three or four mission trips, it might be six or seven, but I think it can be done. And this is, you know, my estimation on that. So 5 mission trips, we could do it. And so if we had an annual mission trip every single year, let's say that we started in January 2022, then we would end in January 2026, and we will have knocked every single door in the Virgin Islands, not to even to mention the hundreds of salvations that we would have gotten. And that's the most important part right there. Amen? So, yeah, we could totally get that done. All right, I'm going to move this out of the way now. I'm done with that. So, in conclusion, I preach this sermon basically for one reason and one reason only, and that is simply this, just to get you excited about soul winning. I want you to be excited, and I'll tell you what, this excites me like nothing else. You know, just thinking about how we're going to reach the entire world, you can tell I've put a lot of thought into this, so it gets me excited. I love it. And, you know, and it's so important, too. You know, this is what Jesus has commanded us to do. This is the Great Commission, you know. And so I preach this to get you excited. Hopefully numbers and things like that get you excited, just like me. I know that me and Gabriel, we're numbers guys, right? That's what you always say at the door. But, you know, there are many different reasons to go out soul winning. You know, there's just because you love people and you want them to be saved, and that is such a great reason to go out soul winning. You know, just following God's commandments because God has told us to go out soul winning. That's another great reason to earn rewards in heaven. I mean, that's a reason right there. But, you know, I can honestly say that one of my biggest reasons for going out soul winning is simply just to, you know, fulfill the Great Commission to reach everybody, because this stuff right here gets me excited. Whenever I come to church and I see the map in the back and it's getting shaded in, that gets me excited like nothing else. Whenever we get back from one of our weekend trips, I'm shading it in on the map or whatever. Hey, that is exciting. You know, the Christian life is exciting. And so I preach this sermon because I want you to be excited just like I am, you know, just like our church. You know, we're going to do it. You know, we're going to reach the entire Caribbean, but the entire world with the gospel. I believe that. I believe that beyond a shadow of a doubt. And you know what? You can be a part of that as well. Not only just coming on the mission trip. Hey, listen, I want you to come on mission trips. You know, we're actually having a big mission trip, not to the Caribbean, but to Africa coming up in October, you know, to Sierra Leone. And I would love for to see you guys come to that. You know, everybody in here is invited to that. If you want more details, just let me know. But then in the near future after that, we're also going to have a mission trip to the U.S. Virgin Islands. And hey, we would love to have you come to that as well. But even if you're not able to go on those trips, maybe you're not able to take off work, maybe you're not financially able to, and that's totally fine, because you know what? The Great Commission starts at home. You know, it starts with just soul winning daily, or not daily, but weekly, you know, just being faithful to it. You know, I saw in your bulletin that you guys down here, you guys have 3 soul winning times per week, so you can make it to one of those, you know. And and you know, obviously we have the weekend trips every single weekend where we go to a small town and we preach the gospel there and we knock on doors there for the weekend. And we just start our Mexico Monday trips, right? And first Monday of every single month, you know, we go down to Mexico, and you guys are only like an hour from Nogales, right? So I mean, yeah, you guys can just start right here. But whenever we go, you know, just be praying for us. And I hope that you guys can make it to a mission trip in the near future. Just support us through prayer and just keep soul winning, and just get excited, you know. And let's pray. Lord,